an old time, and that's a way back. It has to be, because I'm 74, and I was just a little girl the first time I ever heard. And I know it has to be old, ain't it? That's the kind you want, them old tunes. Yeah, that's a good one. Now, you can play that, you ought to play it again. The more you play it, the better you'll get out of it.
Your grandmother, you said,
grandmother on my dad's side. I never did see my grandmother and grandfather on my... Oh, yeah. Yeah, she picked up my dad, my granddad, and he weighed 204 pounds. And that was after she had raised her children, my dad said. She just raised him up with one arm. See how she can do that, but she did.
How many kids?
She had about 11, I think, as near as I can. She lost some of them. She had about 11, I think. They're all dead and gone now.
What was her name?
Sarah Cockrum. Well, sir, she is a Simmons, I believe. You see, Harvey Simmons was her half-brother. She is a Simmons. She cooked on the fireplace all the time, winter and summer. My mother got married to my dad, and they got a stove. She'd cook on the stove, and my grandma would cook on the fireplace. That wasn't that funny. She would not cook a meal on the stove. Now, it'd be okay for wintertime, but what about the summertime? Now, you wouldn't like that so well in summertime, hottest day. It'd be nice if it was wintertime. But now, I'll tell you, I don't believe I can try to cook on the fire in the summertime if I could help it. It's awful hot.
Did your mother sing to you?
Yes, she sung all the time. Sweet By and By, she played that on a French horn. She could play a French horn. But she could not do nothing else but dance and sing. She couldn't play nothing else. But she could play a French harp a little.
What was her favorite song?
Well, she just liked the hymns and all kinds of songs. She just liked any kind suited her. She's a good singer. And my half-brothers, you know, a lot of them was good singers. She's a good singer, but she couldn't do nothing else. My dad could play the fiddle and dance, but he couldn't do nothing else. That's all he could do. So we was raised up in music. And I reckon that's the reason we like music. I like music. I enjoy it. But my husband, he don't care much about music. He plays fiddle a little, but he won't fool with it. His dad could play a little. Some of the boys, his brothers, could play a little. But they never did seem like to go ahead with it. You see, I used to play when I was 10 years old, beginning to play a little. And I was learning pretty good, and when I growed up and got married, I had to quit playing then. And after the kids all they got married, well, then they wanted me to go to playing again and kept on, you know, and got me started. I've been playing a little ever since. Traveling around.
What's those old, the dances that the old people had,
you know,
they just had them in their house?
Yeah, they wouldn't know where else to have them. You know, they just lived back in these hills. And that's all the fun they could have, was just dance. You know, and have a meeting at first one house and then the other. Have prayer meeting, you know. And we go to Sunday school sometimes in the schoolhouse and meeting, about 4 miles from where we lived. It was summertime, but when it got bad, we couldn't go. Wintertime.
So the music and the dance was all they had to do.
Yeah, and amuse themselves. And they had nice times. There was no fights or no nothing. They just enjoyed themselves. Had good times. That's all the kind of times we didn't have nowhere else to go, you know.
So who would be in a little string band when you were coming up? You picked the banjo?
Yeah, I played the banjo and danced too. They'd try to play while I danced. They wouldn't hardly let me off the floor. And I was down here after my sister got married to Arnoldsburg. And I took her banjo. She had one of them old time banjos, her husband did. and it strung up pretty good. And I took it down there and I was playing, and they'd pay me for playing, for, you know, pay me 10 cents a round. I made $3 and something, and then they'd play and let me try to play and let me dance. And when I danced, you know, they wouldn't hardly let me quit, but I'd have to play for them to dance. There wasn't too much music.
Played the banjo with your dad?
Yeah, with my dad, yeah. Yeah, I'd play after him and Noe.
What do people think about a woman picking a banjo? Does that seem alright?
Well, I don't know if it did or not. They never said nothing about it. Which I like the banjo better than I did any other kind of music. I can play a little on the guitar, I can play a little on the fiddle, and I can play a French harp. I can play anything and pick up a little bit of it if I just go ahead, you know. My dad, he'd never allow us to fool with the fiddle. He wouldn't let us bother his fiddle. So we'd just hand it to him, all. He wouldn't let us fool with it. And my brother, Gally McCumber's brother-in-law, he got a fiddle and I was just small. He said, I was up there to his house and he said, I want you to tune my fiddle up. I said, I wouldn't know a bit more about how to tune the fiddle up than I. He said, oh, yes, he said, you try. I tuned that fiddle up, for there's a man come here and picked it up and played. It was in tune. I didn't even know a thing about a fiddle or not. And how I ever got in tune, I don't know, but I tuned it up. And it was in tune, for he played on it. That beat me just as bad as it did anybody else. But I know all these fiddle tunes are here. You know about Jeremiah. I'd learn them, but it just come to me. And fiddle tunes. And people would come there after I got to be about 12 or 13 or 14 years old and play a banjo now and then, an old banjo. I'd just watch them. That Lloyd McCumber's, he is a real banjo player. Pete Lane, just a few of them otherwise. I just watch them and that their tune just come to me. I just want to play. And, you know, I had to learn over again almost when I stuck playing, because I'd when you have a family raising up, you don't have time for music. I didn't play no banjo while I was raising my family. And my baby girl's about 36 now, 36 years old. She's got two children. She married a barber, Jerry Barnes, at Arnoldsburg. They lived down there in a trailer house. She's got two kids, two boys.
Is that
Bill, the musician, sometime? Well, that's their boy. He can dance, and he's crazy over music. I believe he will sometime. But now, my daughter, she could play if she'd do it, but she just won't. She'd rather sing. She's a good singer. And her husband, he just tries to play the banjo and stuff, and he can't play, and so he'll never learn to play, I don't think. But he likes the music. That boy now, he might learn. That oldest boy.
Tell me about the first banjo you ever picked on.
Well, the first banjo I ever picked on, it had the wooden key, and the wooden just twiddled out neck. And an old rim and a flower poke head. And you couldn't hardly notice to save your life and just cut your fingers, you know. But I played on it enough to learn a little bit.
A flower poke head?
Yeah, we put flower poke heads in it. And it didn't have no cat skin head. Now, sometimes they kill no cat, they'd get, that made a pretty good head. But, you know, they didn't, just have to pick up a piece from here to yonder and make a banjo out of it. First we ever fooled with. Yeah, no, some of them didn't, some of them didn't. Some of them didn't have no frets on them, some of them did, you know. Found an old piece of a banjo somewhere where somebody tore it up or something. And take a rim and make noise, fix it up first. And you know, you couldn't hardly keep them tame. And it was just wooden keys whittled out.
What use for string?
Well, we'd find old strings around where somebody'd had a banjo, you know, they'd give us strings. So we got started.
Did you ever use string wire?
No.
I've heard of people
never had that. But it was pretty rough. Now, one time, we'd get our work done, and then we'd help other fellas. You know, they'd help us out with our corn and stuff, and then we'd help the other fellas, their neighbors. And they'd give you father beans or meat or anything like that to help them, you know. And we'd do the same to them, you know. So this Potty Miles McCumber, see, he had us to help him hoe all these corn after we got over ours. And I was small. I was a small swan. And I played the old banjo a little bit, and he told me to bring it. I said, you can't hoe corn and play a banjo. He said, you bring a banjo. Well, I took it. And there's no stump in that field. You see, they cleared out the field to have corn in. And he told me to sit down on that stump. And he made me take that banjo up on that hill. I sat down on that stump, and he said, you play now when we come around here this way so we can hear you. See, you can hear that banjo very far. And then you can play when we come back around. You know, they'd hoe around, and they'd hoe back. And he only allowed me a quarter, and he allowed the rest of them 50 cents an hour. I mean, I think he'd give them 50 cents of them, some 75, and me a quarter, the way it was. And they quarreled about it often, because I didn't do nothing but sit there and play the old banjo. I couldn't play very good. But he thought it was okay. And they'd pay you in meat and beans and stuff like that. You know, they didn't have no money. And this mower helping them out and anything else, helping them hoe the corn out.
All the neighbors helped one another?
Yeah, they'd help one another. So he said, my husband said that they'd have a house raising, you know. Somebody's going to move in and cut logs and raise them a house. Said all the neighbors around would go and help raise that house and have a dinner. And if they had a cornfield to hold it all, throw in and help hold out. They help one another. But anymore, it's different. Like you help yourself, or you don't get no help, I have to hire somebody to help. And used to be, they'd help one another. He said they'd have log rollings. You know, they'd clean out a field and burn the brush, you know, and roll them logs in and burn them, I reckon. And they'd have a log rolling, so they'd work for one another's out of way, you know. He's putting it 3 years older than I am.
Was there usually music
played
with those?
Yeah, they'd play music and have a good time. Yeah, they'd play music and just have the best time you ever seen. Squirrel hunt and coon hunt. They did all that, you know, most of it.
Did they have deer drives then? Or did they
no, there wasn't no deers then. I mean, since we've been. There wasn't no deers in here to this year, a few years ago. Not as we know of, they weren't. There's deers, I reckon, before we was, you know, but not since we've been to this year, been a few years ago, when they first started their deer drive.
Did they hunt bear
or much? No, I didn't know anything about it, but my dad would tell about it. They did when he'd tell about the bear hunts.
You know any good bear hunting stories?
He knows one. He said, the one I can remember he told, he said that there's a young man and a woman got married and they had a young baby. And said that every night that baby would cry. Now this must have been a panther instead of a bear. I don't remember. I think it's a panther. Every night that baby would cry, that's their thing it answers, you know, it scared them. And they found an old hunter and told him about it. He had three great big dogs. One was Cuff, Bluff, one was Bluff, and one Bug, I think, was I remember. And he said, now I'll come over and I'll catch what's after your baby. He come over and said that third baby never cried. And he said, make that baby cry. That's that my boy. And they pinched it and made it cry, and the thing answered it. It was a panther. And Said, well, it didn't. Said, them old dogs raised their head up, and he said, listen, Cuff, Bluff and Bug, you know, he told, called their name. Said, just opened the door, and out went them dogs right after. He had an old muzzle-loading gun of some kind. And said, he followed them, and they treated it. And said, he shot it, and it went over, and jumped over a hill, I forget how many feet, and it was 9 foot long. The man of his tail, the end of its nose, is a big panther. And said they never heard no more then. See, he is no time hunter or no. And he stopped us. That's one that I remember him telling. And then he told a bear tale. Now, I don't know how true this is, but he said they said it was. He said there's a bear, and they'd cut their corn, and it was tearing that corn down. And he said, they said, well, there's an old man there, and he telling him about it, and he said, well, that's a bear. Yes, said, it must be something's got a road into the field. Made a road into the field. And said he went and got a gallon or 2 gallon of honey, and poured a gallon or two of whiskey in it, and set it right in that bear's road, you know, right there close where you went in the cornfield. And he said, now we'll find out what they're doing there. So they said that bear eat all that dirt he could hold, you know, all that honey and whiskey. Said he went in there and hugged 130 shocks of corn down, the last one come up and got it, was drunk. Then they killed him. He knows how to get it. No, my dad told about it. The old time people from way back from him told about it. He didn't do it. He said he heard it from old time people. Yeah, I bet you would too. You know, it wouldn't have got too far. 2 gallon of whiskey and 2 gallon of honey, and you know, they love honey. And they'd just eat every bit of that all they could, and then it went in there to hugging them corn and sure thawing them down. It's better doing that, throwing them corn shocks down. And it hugged down 130, and that's a lot of corn. And the last one had come upon, now that's what he said they told him. It laid down on that corn shock, and of course they killed it. Old man did. He's watching, you know. And that's one way of getting rid of that. Now, there's bears and everything then, my dad said, back in his dad's time. There's wild hogs when he was a boy, he said. He said they kill wild hogs when he was a boy. So, you know, it's been some bad times for our ancestors way back. And hard times for them.
I bet the old wild hogs.
Oh, he said, that's bad. They'd just run and said, they shot a lot of them and eat them. They killed them and eat them, a lot of them. See, this is getting thick around them. And they'd just jump right on you. That's wild. He said, it was awful bad. They lived over there on Bear Fork a long time. He owned a lot of land, my grandfather did. And my dad and his sister got sick on him for 5 years and about broke him up, you know, the doctor. He said.
Was that back before the cut the timber?
Yeah. Yeah, that's way back before they cut the timber. I remember seeing them cutting that timber. They'd come in there with oxes, you know, and haul them logs. Yeah, I can remember that. I was awful small then. I was awful small.
I guess we don't have trees now.
No, we have got some pretty good trees. You think cut all them trees yet, I don't think. See, that's been years ago, when they cut that timber. They used to have a little dinky train running through there to haul them logs on. Yeah.
That was over at Bear Run?
Over on the Bear Fork, over through there. I believe they said there's around over 600 or 900 acres of
woods land over in there, right? Yeah, they hunt in there, you know. Kill deer. No, not anymore. They used to be, they did. They used to sing and dig. There's a lot of it, but anymore they, I think it's all about dug out or people's quit.
Bring a pretty good price, huh?
Yeah, they say it's awful high. I don't know. You better go and see him if you want to see me. Yeah, you want to tell him who you are and everything, for you don't know nobody around, you know. Just go out through them bars there and up the hill. Okay, I'll keep him from working, he ain't able to work. Oh, yeah. Where is that record you was talking about?